Alright guys, welcome again to another episode of Hip Hop Soiree. You got me, DJ Goose.
And Poppy.
And I think we've actually been gone for about 3 weeks. So sorry for the delay.
I think more than 3 weeks, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe a month. But the point is, there's just a lot of stuff that happened that prevented us from recording, like something happening with our laptop that we have to fix, among being busy. So that won't happen again, but just wanted to let you know we're still here. We're still giving you all the best information we can about hip-hop. So, as Poppy mentioned before, we wanted to finish off our big three rappers that we're talking about that are current right now. So we talked about Drake first, then we talked about J. Cole. So today is going to be about Kendrick Lamar. But before we get into that, there are two pieces of news that we want to go over. One of them is a little bit older. It's about 2 weeks ago. And the other one just happened a few days ago. So the first one that I wanted to talk about is actually about Nick Cannon. He had an interview back, I think it was on the 21st of August. And he made some remarks about Eminem. Now, the funny thing about Nick Cannon is that if you know anything about Eminem, he's had tons of beefs. And he had one with Mariah Carey, which
So stupid.
Yeah, but that's Nick Cannon's ex-wife. So,
and they had beef while they were married.
Yeah. And so they started talking and interviewing Nick Cannon about Eminem, and he basically says, like, Eminem, he's like a, what's it called? He made his name in hip hop. He actually came, like, from, like, I don't want to say normal, but, like, a lot of the background of a lot of
extremely similar.
Background.
From the hood. I mean, and really, he's not kind of like from the hood. He literally is from the hood. He came from very poor parts of Detroit. It was a different community set. Like, it was white people, trailer trash. But, I mean, black people were around. So, he grew up in the hood. That you can't deny that he did.
Yeah.
Or didn't, I should say.
So, he grew up in, like I said, I don't want to say stereotypical circumstances. But, I mean, a lot of people, a lot of rappers talk about how they were in the hood, how they went through rough times. So Eminem went through the same thing. But how they voiced their experience in those circumstances are very different. And Nick Cannon kind of goes on to talk a little bit about that. But his main, like, I guess, jab to Eminem is, like, he doesn't have a lot of African-American or black people that are listening to or banging to his music. It's mostly these white girls. And to his credit, that's actually pretty true. Like, I think Bobby told me more about that of his fan base.
I think I've said it before on one of the podcasts. I mean, the simple fact, and this is not racism, his demographic reach is far more widespread than any other black male hip hop artist. And I'm going to use a reference. So we live here in Utah. I'm going to guess that this was very similar amongst other radio stations, but when a country station, when we know country's a very predominantly, almost 100% white dominant music genre, when a country station plays Eminem, but you don't hear songs from Nas, from Jay-Z, from Tupac, from Biggie, Wu-Tang, I mean, there's only one similarity you can kind of point towards, but they played Lose Yourself by Eminem, and I'm going to guess it's because he shared similarities, specifically skin color, with that group. I don't care. That doesn't bother me. But I don't think anyone can deny that that's possibly the reason why.
Yeah.
And hip-hop, honestly, while it's an escapism form of art for projects, for hoods, the main consumer is legitimately white people, specifically white females.
Yeah.
It really is. Like, the number one consumer of that genre is a white female.
And
guess who? I mean, he's white. That's who they resonate with. Nick Cannon said a couple things, and I said it when we were together. What was it? Saturday?
Yeah.
I like Eminem. I honestly think it from a skill perspective, he is definitely up there. You can never discredit his ability, but his music ages very poorly.
Yeah,
he has some songs that will age well. Overall, his discography, I mean, you can't really play an entire album and think this is great songs. These are great songs to literally just play all the way through and ride down the street. You can't cruise. Not to me.
Yeah, it has a very different feel. And like I said, that's not bad, having, you know,
no,
the music that he's created. It's just, to Nick Cannon's, to what he's saying, like, it is true. I really don't think people would be, like, banging to him, like, hood people out there be like, did you hear Eminem's new album? Oh, it was dope. Like, no, I can't see that. You hear, you can, I can see all the girls be like, oh, Eminem.
Yeah, and back then, I mean, I still think MMLP, Marshall Mathers LP, is one of the best hip-hop albums I've ever heard. But, I mean, I can't cruise to and listen. You know what I mean? Like, you don't play that at a party and think this is great listening music. From a poetic standpoint, it is. But I don't know. I think it aged different, and maybe that's production quality. But what he speaks about isn't speaking to a generation or a group of people. It's internal reflection.
Yeah.
And it's about his anger, his angst, which maybe a lot. And this might sound, I don't know, that I'm targeting people, but the rebellious nature, and mm-hmm. A lot of ethnicities look at the Caucasian individuals, specifically in the U.S., how disrespectful they are and how angry they always are towards whoever, specifically their parents, and they're rebellious, and that's kind of what he resonated with, and his music showcases it.
It's like the rock thing, the punk-esque rock. That's what he kind of represents in a rap perspective,
yeah,
is what I see.
He exudes, you don't understand me, I'm never going to get the credit or the things I deserve. And from a hip hop perspective, literally him being white from the black community, even some Latinos that are really into hip hop. Yeah, he might be right. We might isolate him. I don't think I isolate him. Like I said, I honestly think I give him the credit he definitely deserves, but it's still different from a moving units perspective, right? His sales, his streams, he's going to naturally be much higher for the simple fact of kind of what he looks like.
Yeah. And
so, that is not taking away his skill set.
Yeah, not taking away
his
skill set.
Not taking it away at all.
So like I said, he has some valid points in here. But again, like, it's funny that it is coming from Nick Cannon.
Someone who, who beefed with Eminem.
Yeah, and he has... I think of Nick Cannon, because there's another part he says where he talks about how there's these stories that used to be told in hip-hop, like, the Bronx is burning, that don't push me, I'm close to the edge. And it was all about the escapism for our community. But it's like, have you listened to your albums? Have you listened to your singles? You have nothing that can even resemble any of that.
He had the Gigolo song.
He had the Gigolo. Did he do I'm a Pimp, or was that R. Kelly?
That was R. Kelly.
He was featured in it, though, right?
I think so. I don't know.
I don't know. I can't remember. I think I listened to some of his singles, but looking back, I'm like, he did nothing.
I'm thinking of I'm a Flirt, so
I'm
never
a
mind.
Flirt. Okay,
I don't know if he made a song. I'm a Pimp.
Okay.
I don't listen to Nick Cannon's music, clearly, for obvious reasons. I think there's a lack of credibility from. I don't know. He doesn't resonate with me. But pulling up the article, and this is on what, Genius?
Yeah.
I'll read a specific thing that I guess he's quoted saying. It says, "That's where I feel Eminem is." Rephrase that. "That's where I feel like Eminem is. He's homogenized hip hop, which is fine. He can't never talk about the voice of the streets because he told his story and he paved the way for cats to tell their story like the Drakes and all the other different stories. But if you think about what hip-hop stories were always about, they were about the Bronx is burning. They was about don't push me, I'm close to the edge. This is what we were talking about, and that's what escapism, that it was escapism for our community." And like I said, it's which he has a right to make it personal, right?
Yeah.
Music is self-expression in one way or another, but... like what you were saying, back to his point, he wasn't speaking on behalf of the community. He was speaking about himself.
Yeah.
So in the hood, they want to be represented. Eminem doesn't represent them, but that's not because he doesn't understand it. He just doesn't portray it in his music.
Yeah, and he says, like, there's, and he kind of tries to group Drake into it as well, which is like,
Drake came about. Decades later.
Yeah, Drake came up with Drake. And Drake's also very different as well. Like, I can't see him standing up for the hood, because I know he's had some... Everyone has had struggles in their life, but he came up from, like, a pretty, like, well-off...
Yeah, his mom was, like, background. An established attorney or something like that, and then he was able to land that role in
Degrassi.
And I'm assuming he got a pretty decent check while he was acting in it. And again, does he know people that are from the streets? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did he fully live that whole life style to be able to represent that group? I'm gonna go with no. I could be wrong, but even then, I'm sure the hood will say Drake is super nice, we listen to his music, does he represent us? I'm gonna go with probably no.
Yeah, so that's probably why Nick Cannon grouped him in with Eminem, that they're telling just their stories instead of focusing on bigger issues to speak for the community, like they say multiple times here, like you've said. But again, it's not bad.
No, I mean, Eminem has the respect of my favorite artists, right? I mean,
yeah.
Andre 3000 respects him. Jay-Z, Nas. I don't care much, I guess, for 52 anymore. But, I mean, he definitely gets the credit. And I'm going to go with he had to maybe be different and do the self-portrayal in his music. Probably because being white, a lot of black people didn't want to hear him try to resonate with them. Because at the end of the day, as terrible as the circumstances, they could have been almost 100% the same, with the exception of he may have never known what it is like to be truly like the victim of a racial issue.
Yeah.
Because he can't resonate with it. Mm-hmm. Not in America.
And I think that's maybe why he strayed away from that. He's like, I can't do that.
In the beginning, maybe it was that. But I'm going to assume that in Detroit, he caught flack. Like, oh, you don't know what it's like to be black, so you can't rap about shit like that. So he decided to change it, and good for him. He marketed it, and like I said, does he have great music? Absolutely. It's just very, very different, and the marketing is a bit easier for him, just given who he is.
I think it's interesting, like, if you want to see, like, maybe how, I guess he does a lot of self-reflection. If you want to see maybe how his life could have been, like, watch the movie 8 Mile, because he took a lot of it from his own, like, personal experiences. So I can only imagine that's a sliver of what he lived through. And again, he played it off as his, what he experienced. It was just different than someone like, again, an African American black person. But he told it his own way, on his own personal struggles and how he overcame that. So that's, I mean, that's one way if you want to look at how he went up.
And I'll make a confession: I've never seen any hip hop based biography movie of any sort. The only one I ever watched was the Biggie one, and I didn't like it one bit. So I refuse to watch any others.
I won't
watch 8 Mile. I will not watch Get Rich or Die Trying. I will not watch the Tupac one. Everyone tells me to watch the NWA one. Straight Outta Compton. Yeah, or yeah.
They do a lot of. I think Straight Outta Compton is probably one of the best ones. 8 Mile is not like a complete like autobiography. I mean, it's fictional. He just added some elements, or he borrowed from some of his experiences to put in the movie. So it's not like frame by frame like the same thing that happened to him. So. I mean, yeah. So I wouldn't group that as with the Tupac, Biggie, or the NWA ones. That's kind of its own. Like, I want to tell a fictional story, but borrow from my life experiences type of stuff.
Fair enough.
So let's move on to one last piece of news. So this is actually really interesting. So Nicki Minaj on September 5th, she said that she was retiring. And she's basically said like she's retiring because she wants to focus on her family or...
Starting
a family. And I'm pulling up a article right now, and actually people, I guess, were really upset about it, because it says here that after that, she apologized for being abrupt and insensitive for her
announcement. How's that insensitive? Are these Minaj stans, or like the what you would refer to as a dick rider?
I don't know.
Who would be upset about this?
They said it was fans. It was just fans that were upset.
I understand them being upset, like, oh, she's not going to make any music anymore, right? I guess more like a disappointed or a, oh, that sucks. I'm not upset one bit, but, I mean, that's her choice to be able to retire whenever the hell she wants to. And let's face it, if it's anything like some of the other, she's going to return.
Yeah, but...
Too much easy money for her.
But Poppy and I talked about this, of why she's doing this, and basically it's because she's come out with nothing really big since her debut, really.
I think it's she's frustrated currently in her career. She's catching a lot of flack for who, I don't know if she's married yet, whoever she's with right now.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Because he has a pretty bizarre past, like not a very good one. I can't remember the charges. I want to say there was something to do with, I don't want to say child molestation incorrectly. I believe there is a murder charge against him. I don't know. Either way, he has a questionable past that most people probably wouldn't want to deal with. But back to your point, yes, we did discuss it. I don't think her music has been remotely as good as it was when she first started, which I really enjoyed her music. I don't know, it just changed. She became super poppy. I'm like, whatever, she can do the whole pop thing as long as she reverts back. I'm fine with people being versatile, but I don't think she ever got her knack back. I don't know if it's due to lack of production quality or her just getting frustrated, because it would be tough, I'd imagine, being someone that prolific, because you do want to please your fans. And I'm going to say that she sincerely probably wants to do what her fans want, but she's also going to catch a lot of hate from people like me and you for doing things that we don't think that are enjoyable. I can't knock anyone's hustle, but I don't think her music is very good anymore.
No, and it partly could be, like you said, it's easier to write, like, to be lazy and to have, like, a nice little, like, hook or whatever, and people are going to like it. And so I think she's been riding on that with just that, but it's starting to catch up to her and be like, no one's going to listen to this anymore. And it could be part of it. It could be her way of seeing that, and also whatever Young Money has been telling her.
Yeah, that's the issue. Young Money is not a sustainable process. Again, with Drake is an exception. Wayne is an exception because they're very unique individuals, and they can market themselves as just themselves, as individuals, even without the music.
Yeah,
Minaj actually has that potential for sure, but a lot of it rides on the music, and maybe unfairly so because she's female. And that's going to bring up my next point is, guess who's hot right now? Cardi B is extremely hot right now. Megan Thee Stallion's coming up. Hip-hop is naturally and inherently competitive. It's just kind of what it is. And it's difficult to stay on top, even for men. Like, think of who really stays on top longer than probably 5 years. So many have come and gone in less than a five-year span. And having someone with the clout, as you would put it, with Cardi's been on top for a long time. She shows no current signs of slowing down. I love her music a lot. She's put out consistently good content, which is exactly how Minaj started. So we'll see how the next few years go. I don't know. Maybe being a woman is a byproduct of it, unfortunately so. But women MCs don't last very long in hip-hop, unfortunately.
Yeah, it might be good for her to go on hiatus, to reflect, and then come back.
Dude, pull a Jay-Z, retire for 3 years. Even though he was still involved in the music industry because he was president of Def Jam, and he's a very unique individual.
That's a whole he's his own separate thing as well.
He really is. But maybe she just needs that break. Take a 3-year hiatus, clear your mind, come back with a good concept, because I know she has that potential. We've seen it before and heard it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I want her to return, to be honest, even though I've been kind of upset with her because I think she's been such a diva recently. But I don't know her life story, and who knows what she hears or feels from her fans and or haters. But she's seemed really angry recently.
Yeah. I thought she was, like, going to make it because she was on that new Megan Thee Stallion song. What's it called? Summer Girls? I can't remember.
Yeah, I know there's a Summer Girls song. I haven't heard it, but I hear that all the time. But
she's on there. It's her. I think there's another feature. I can't remember who it is. But so I was like, oh, she's going to be, like, doing more stuff. And then she comes out with this, so. I don't know. We'll see what she says. I guess she's going to talk to someone or talk on Queen Radio, on an episode of Queen Radio, to get more information on her retirement. So
she'll be back in less than 3 years. Yeah. I'm saying it right now.
Is that or just never come back?
No, I'm saying right now, September 9th, 2019, you heard it from Poppy, she'll be back in less than 3 years.
Okay. All right. So now it is time for us to finally finish the big three. So,
real quick, just one small update. We're not going to talk about it too much. ASAP Rocky is free. I'm sure that most people know that. But he's finally been free. I know we've covered it, that he was locked up, but he's finally out.
I think he's just on probation, right?
Yeah, but I think he's stateside now. He has to, like, report to some sort of hearings, is my understanding. Yeah. I could be wrong.
No, it's kind of, his is kind of weird. It's funny because, like, I think he's on probation too, and if he breaks it, he has to go back to jail, I think. So, I don't know. I'll try to look more into that if you guys really want to know. But, yeah, ASAP Rocky, yeah, it's free right now. I think just probation is his only thing.
Yep.
So, okay. If you want to know more about it, there are two stories. One, that he actually assaulted the guy, the kid. And the other one was that they used, like, a bottle to hit him. And so they dismissed the bottle one because there was no substantial evidence for or against it, so they just dismissed it. But the other one about him attacking, they're like, yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
From what they saw. So, good job, ASAP Rocky. Just stay out of jail.
Whatever.
But, okay, so let's talk about we talked about the big three. The past two episodes, we talked about the three rappers that are dominating hip-hop right now.
For the past decade.
Mm-hmm. Which is long.
Yeah, that's
why I call it the big three, and that's why I relate it to anime or to manga, because in Japan, there's always there's these big three in Shonen Jump, but who's going to be the best, which the people that are they started watching anime in the early 2000s would be Naruto, Bleach, and One Piece. That's why I made that correlation to them. And so we talked about Drake, We talked about Cole. Now we're going to talk about Kendrick. And out of those three, he's my favorite one. But again, I'd put him second overall because I don't think neither of them, unfortunately, can't touch Drake in terms of popularity and money making.
Yeah, commercial success, it goes to Drake. That's absolutely facts.
Yeah, we can't deny that. So, and that's why people love him. That's why he has like, I don't even know. I think he has like more than like 5 number one hits with his single. So, anyway, so Kendrick Lamar. So, I think he started like when he was young. So he's like not that much older than I am. I think he's born 87 or 86. Something like that. I was born 89. And his original name was actually K-Dot, and then he changed it to his actual name, which is Kendrick Lamar. So he came out with like a bunch of mixtapes in the early 2000s. And then I can't remember who he got found by. Do you remember, Puppy?
Anthony Tiffith. His nickname is Top Dog.
Uh-huh.
He signed him to, I think, some Top Dog labeled records or whatever.
Well, he released his first EP solo, I believe, right?
No, I think that Top Dog was with him the entire time.
The entire time? Okay.
And I'll get to it because actually one of my top 5 favorite songs from Kendrick goes into this story.
Okay.
Which I already knew the story going in, but the song just reconfirms it. But after he was with him, I mean, he did the mixtapes. He did like some small LPs, whatever the case may be. And then at some point, Dre took notice of him. And it was a wrap after that point.
Yeah, and so he's come out with, was it 4? Was it, it's, I can't remember, always remember the name.
Good Kid, Mad City.
Good Kid, Mad City.
To Pimp a Butterfly. Damn.
I think that's only 3, because the Black Panther one is something
It's
separate.
Still credited as his own album. Or, I mean, it's not a solo album, no, but it is a studio album.
Okay, but he was asked to produce that. We'll talk about that one a little bit later. He's very interesting because I remember when I actually first heard him, and I think this is a lot of the rappers, I didn't like him. I think the first song I ever heard from him was Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe. And I only heard like 10 seconds of it, and I didn't like his voice. I was like, ugh. It's like, this sucks. Because all I heard was like, Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe. And again, this is during the time where I didn't want to listen to hip-hop anymore because I thought it was all trash.
Yeah.
So it wasn't actually until I heard where I actually start to take notice, and that's actually the song that introduced me to him. And which is funny because I actually found out a lot of hip-hop heads don't like that song that much because he went a little bit more poppy, but that whole album is more funky and than anything else he's done, so like it fits it. And like in all of his songs that he talks about, and he's the same with Cole, like he likes to talk about current events, about the community, what's going on in there. And in this song, he talked more about like self-love, which I really liked. But again, it was on this funky beat, and I was like, dang, I gotta listen to this. I gotta listen to him. And so I listened to that whole album and really liked it. And then I started going back. I listened to his previous ones. And this was about right before Black Panther came out and when they announced that he was going to be producing it. And I thought that was awesome because I never heard of any rapper who's been asked by a major movie studio to do a whole like soundtrack for a movie. And then like I think 2 years after that he won the Pulitzer. So I'm just putting just little bit tidbits here, and then I'll go more into like the rap stuff. But I thought that was interesting because is he the first rapper to win a Pulitzer, Puppy?
I don't think so. I swear Nas has one.
Does
I could
Nas
be wrong.
One? Okay, but it's not typically like given to them.
No, it definitely isn't for just because of the genre and what it entails and the stigmas that go around it. It's funny that you Kendrick is your favorite out of the three?
Out of the favorite, yeah. Consistent, like if I had to choose like songs of which I like or albums I like, to me he's the one that I like the most. Which is, like I said, it's also funny because I have an issue with his voice sometimes because it's like so high, like. And I'm just like, but then like sometimes when he performs like live, he doesn't have that.
No, it's just the sound editing, I'm sure, with the engineers that he has in the studio. But I'm not gonna say he's my least favorite of the three. I actually think he has the highest potential of the three. My favorite of the three, I'm gonna have to give to Drake, mm-hmm. For numerous reasons. I think in level of consistencies and stuff that I enjoy, Drake is my favorite. I think Kendrick is the most lyrically gifted, and he's proven that time and time again. I don't know if maybe I have biased opinions on how his albums are produced. They're so odd. They like rub. They don't. They just the audio aspect of it, the acoustics, whether it be his voice or the track, it doesn't seem to fit together. When it does, it's absolute magic and insanely good to me. But there are some tracks I hear, I'm like, I don't know. I wish he would have either picked a different producer, or the producer would have made a different production style. And maybe that's what they're getting at. There's that whole concept in music, right? Dissonance and consonant sound. It sounds very consonant where it doesn't sound, it rubs wrong. So your ear hears it and it's not supposed to work. Sometimes that's done perfectly and other times it doesn't work. More often than not, I just think it sounds weird.
And to your point, like, he does do a lot of odd things, and he kind of reminds me, he reminds me of trap music in the sense that a lot of rappers who do that, they don't care about the beat, they don't care about them rhyming, they care about what message they're portraying, they want to tell. And Kendrick is like that. He does you know, rhyme and he puts it all together fine, but sometimes he has beats in there I don't know why he chooses, because I hate
exactly
it.
That's my idea.
Like,
that's...
like in his song We Gonna Be Alright, I love the lyrics, but I hate that beat so much. It's like two sounds, like dee doo, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, and again, maybe it's on purpose, and that, I mean, which is fine, it just doesn't work for me. I would like to see maybe him venture with maybe some East Coast style, like maybe if he got just a variety of people, right? Like the Neptunes and Ninth Wonder, all of these different producers, it would sound great. Which is funny because early workings, I know a lot of people know that Kendrick and Cole get along very, very well. On one of his mixtapes, Cole actually produced a song, and that happens to be my top five favorite songs from Kendrick.
Yeah, okay.
And so they actually have really good history, and they have other songs where Kendrick has admitted calling up or sending a message to J. Cole. J. Cole is obviously a known producer. He'll produce it, and I think Cole has a great knack for understanding what he wants the sound to sound like.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I mean, I think they make great music together. So I like that at least in the big three, two of them get along very well publicly. I think it'd be nice to see all three of them get along and maybe get on a track together. I like that kind of stuff.
And to talk about that, something interesting about Kendrick is, even though he has all these friendships, I guess you want to call them, or if you don't want to call them, you call them acquaintances, but early in his career, he also like called them out, not like dissing them, but basically he was on a song with
Controlverse,
Big Sean. And first of all, that song is freaking long. I was like, holy crap, it's like 7 minutes long or 8 minutes long. And in that track, he basically started, he name drops J. Cole and Drake and a few other people. And I think he also name drops Big Sean, which was funny. Cause
he does. It's on Big Sean's song.
Yeah. So I was like, okay. And he's like, I'm going to murder y'all. Obviously talking about like lyric, like in scale or whatever, he's going to beat all these people. And then he also got flack on that also, because he said that he was the king of New York and also like something of the West Coast. I can't remember what. And so that's where we're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, first of all, there's always a battle for that, but most people...
I think he said, I'm the king of New York, I'm the king of the coast. One hand, I could juggle them both.
Yeah. And so a lot of people were like, no. No way you can say it, because he is from Compton, right?
Yeah, he calls out... Yes, he is. Yes, he calls out Big Crit, Wale, Big Sean, like Mac Miller, all these people. And your point, it wasn't a beef. It wasn't a diss. It was just, I liked it because it goes back to what I've always said. Steel sharpens steel. He said, I want to murder you niggas. Like, he wants to raise the level of competition at that point in time with music. And we're still at that point today. There's the whole concept of hip hop's credibility. It's art form is suffering. And he used that as a platform to be like, we need to raise the bar and I'm going to be the one to raise it.
Yeah, and like I said, a lot of the fans were like, well, and I think some people also made some diss tracks, but again, that wasn't his intention to like start beef. He wants to make it competitive, which I actually like.
Well, people forget that last part, because he starts, and I like it because I've actually memorized this part. I always like, he goes, I'm trying to raise the bar high. Who's trying to jump and get it? You're better off trying to skydive at the exit window with five G5s with $5,000, with your granddad as a pilot. He's drunk as fuck trying to land with a hand full of arthritis, with a popping prosthetic leg, bumping pock in the cockpit. Like, he just, he starts it off with, I'm trying to raise the bar high. Who's trying to jump and get it? And then he tells everyone they're not going to get it.
Yeah.
But again, back to the competition of hip hop. That's why I like him. I mean, again, I think out of the three, he has the least amount of songs. I actually had the easiest time picking five from him. I had a very difficult time with J. Cole and Drake picking. These are my top five songs from these two individuals. Unfortunately for me, Kendrick was easy. I don't think he has as many tracks I love listening to, as talented as I think he is. And a lot of it has to do, again, with kind of the production quality, I think, and how the song sounds. But from a lyrical perspective, I do think he's for sure the top dog out of the three.
Yeah. And he's shown it time and time again. And I want to actually talk about him producing the Black Panther soundtrack. Now, this was a huge deal. Obviously, like, people were excited that Black Panther was using the first African, just straight up African or African American superhero getting his own movie after he appeared in Civil War
as a main character.
As a main character, and he's gonna have basically an almost all black cast. They tried to push that a little too hard. I was like, okay, it doesn't matter. We're in Wakanda. We're in Africa. Of course, it's gonna be mostly black. Like, I don't know why you.
I think it just became a milestone. Just to it. I think it had more to do with the times than it did to do with where they were, the geographics.
Yeah.
Right. Just the inequalities and all the injustices that are happening. I think that's why they pushed it.
Yeah. And so, so he did, and he came out with. I think he came out with three big songs that came out from them. One of them I didn't know was on the soundtrack, which I think is called King is Dead. It's with him. It's with Future, and I can't remember the other one who's featured on it. He had that, All the Stars, and then Pray For Me were like the big ones that came out of the album with The Weeknd.
Yeah, King is definitely one that Miss Me With That Bullshit. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Then I'm on sound, then I freaked it. It's that one.
Is that J-Rock? J-Rock is on that?
J-Rock, yeah, that's who it was. Yeah. I remember at first I was like, this isn't on the Black Panther album. And I looked at it, oh crap, it is on the Black Panther
album. That is a really good song, by the way.
It is. And like I said, I don't like Future at all. Like, he's one, and I know you like him, but like on that song, I was like, okay, I'll give it to him.
Yeah,
he was really good on that song. And one thing about Kendrick is also he's been in the media and gone flack for a lot of different stuff, not necessarily like with him, like with crimes or him with beating up people, but it's like stuff that he talks about in his songs, like in the song Humble. Like, he talks about how he wants like a real girl. Like, he's sick of the Photoshop. With
stretch marks.
With the stretch marks. He's like, but I'm still gonna F you, like, with my socks on. And he got a lot of flack, like, oh, he's trying to, I can't remember the exact one, but they're saying that he was like looking down on women with this line. It's just the weirdest controversy. I was like,
yeah, we need to make an episode of that. And maybe, I mean, I do want to commit to maybe doing smaller episodes here and there, like 15 minutes or 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Push a couple out. But that is, it's odd, that sensitivity for hip hop when it's supposed to be kind of unadulterated, right? That's kind of the essence on how it was created. I can see why people think it's looking down on women, but I mean,
they're saying he's misogynistic for saying that.
But let's go back to Eminem then. We started the podcast with him. He is easily the most misogynistic in his music, and he still has the biggest fan base.
Yeah.
So why all of a sudden now, I'm not bringing color into this, but you easily could if you wanted to. How come Eminem can get away with it for so many years and still be loved and adored? I know people at work that kind of identify as feminists, and you would think that their last favorite hip-hop artist would be Eminem, yet they know every word to most of his songs. They proudly own it, but they don't know someone like Joey Badass or whatever the case, which is fine. They're not as invested in it as I am. But it again, proves to you, back to the point we were making with Eminem, I'm now talking about it in Kendrick Lamar's terms. Why the hell is he getting flack for it? But someone who's always notoriously been misogynistic and still kind of is still today in some of his music, how come he gets to get away with it?
Yeah, I don't understand it. I don't know if it's because he wants to be shocked, the shock value, and wants you to be like shocked at, and they're like, oh, that's just his norm, I'm gonna accept it.
There's no shock value anymore because it's become the standard for him.
But again, like, if you listen to Kendrick's song in context of what he's really like talking about, what the whole song is about, I don't understand why they have issues with it.
No, I don't know.
I just, there was a comment someone said in one of the in one of the comments about the article, some girl saying, yeah, he's misogynistic, and the guy goes like, bitch, be humble. I was like, I laughed so hard.
The comment section's just a great place.
Yeah, I love that. I was like, he just used that line from Kendrick, just amazingly. I loved it.
And you mentioned he's from Compton. I think that has a lot to do with his music content, obviously, not to mention his fan base. Right, I'm not saying and not knocking California artists. In fact, I love Ice Cube. I think I've mentioned that. I think he's, from my perspective, I like him more than I like Tupac. But when you're a California artist and you finally make it, you're typically universally loved by the entire state of California, and we know that state has the most people in it. So from sheer numbers, you're going to have a massive, super supportive fan base, which I think is fantastic. You don't get the kind of same level of support from other areas, namely New York. It's so competitive. People battle around like boroughs, or like, oh, if he's from Queens, I don't care because I'm from this place, like, whatever. But I'll say this, I think he's universally respected from all MCs for obvious reasons, and I think that's a credit to his talent as well as what he's done for the genre. It's again, over the span of 10 years, he hasn't been on top the entire 10 years or known or mainstream for the entire 10 years, but he did start making music, and I think his first bigger mixtape or known mixtape did drop in 2011. It was Section 80. I don't know if that's a play off Section 8 housing, which obviously, if he comes from a poor area, Section 8 housing is notorious with projects. So I don't know if Section 0.80 is kind of a spin on Section 8.
It might be. I'm not sure. One last thing before we go to our top five. What's interesting about Kendrick, and I think he does this more than Drake or J. Cole, is he does a lot of concept songs. And that might be also why, like, maybe you listen to me and you think it's kind of odd, because he changes stuff like halfway through the song. Like, a big example for one of his singles is Mad City. Like, it's you hear all of it, and all of a sudden in the middle of the song he stops and he changes it. And he does that on quite a few songs. And I can see why that's a turnoff on people, because I put this also as like that stupid song that's on the radio by that Billie Eilish girl called some Bad Type. Like, she kind of does the same thing. She has like this consistent beat that doo 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 doo, and then like half through the song it changes to like this weird like. Bah, bah,
bah, bah, bah, bah. I actually don't mind the beat changing. In fact, one of my top five songs in 2018 was JID, and it was Never. And the song completely changed course, and he changed his tone of voice on the song. But I just think it just doesn't fit together, and I like it to be harmonious.
And for Kendrick, he does sometimes make it so polarizing that I can understand why people don't want to listen to it again. Like, maybe that content is good, but it's just not good to listen to.
Yeah, and you mentioned this, and I should have said this, but to kind of backtrack, first time I heard of Kendrick Lamar was a song on the Games album, the Red album, called The City. And he's the very last verse.
He
has a tendency to do a lot of songs with at least maybe four bars a cappella. And I think that's when he's at his best sometimes. So at the end of the song, he goes like eight bars a cappella. And I really, really like that. And that's when I heard him. I'm like, I really like this guy. I got to check him out. And then at that point, I think it's just a couple months later, The Recipe from his song, or from his album, Good Kid, Mad City, dropped and became like a pop hit. Or a top hit. And that's The Recipes with Dre. Smoking weed with you. And they sampled that song from another song. I have no idea. But that's when I'm like, okay, maybe we're going to hear a lot more about him. And 9 years later, we have.
So let's go into top five. Do you want to start? You want me to start?
You start.
Okay. Top five. So the first one, I it's off the Black Panther album, and it's Pray For Me. I actually really like his verse. I guess you can call it, you could say like maybe it's just a Weeknd song and he's featuring Kendrick, but I was like, he produced all of it.
The album is credited to Kendrick, so we can say it's his song. Yeah. So a criteria, I don't know if you've ever discussed this, is in order to give you guys a top five, it has to be their song. So for example, if he's on a song on a DJ Khaled album, understand that all of those songs on the DJ Khaled album are DJ Khaled's songs. If so it can't be a feature. It has to be his song.
If I hear DJ Khaled's voice first, I know it's not their song. It's just his.
Yeah. So it can't be, it can't say FT period Kendrick Lamar. It has to be Kendrick Lamar, and it can feature as many other people. But our criteria for our favorite songs for any artist that we do this review on it has to be their song, or they have to be credited with being the main person.
Yeah, and I really like that. I really like his song, just his opening lines, like, it's like, I fight the world, I fight you, I fight myself. And just from there, and like I said, he does all these little acapella parts for whatever reason. I think it's to make a point to tell people, listen to this part. And so he does on the beginning, and that's what, like, hooked me into hearing. And he goes into a lot of stuff that's relevant to the time that's happening here. And he has, like, probably one of the coolest, like, ending lines, where he's like, if I gotta die for the greater good, then that's what it's gotta be. I thought it was just really smart. It was a really poppy song. It has a cool little, like, techno beat that goes dun 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 dun. And it complements The Weeknd's voice that he does on that. And
it's a hollow sound, and I think that rounds it out, because he's got this gritty, gravelly voice.
Mm-hmm.
So much like Tupac, much like DMX, he has such an immense amount of energy, and he channels that in a lot of his songs, which it can be overdone. I don't think he overdoes it, but much to why people really enjoy Tupac and DMX, I think we've seen another resurfacing of someone that really knows how to use their energy. And it comes across in a lot of his songs, and I think in Pray For Me it does really, really well. And Weeknd offsets it because he has this nice, like,
R&B
soulful type voice. And you hear Grit, then you hear Pray For Me, the chorus from Weeknd. So it's kind of uplifting, then it gets serious. Uplifting, then it gets serious.
So that's my number five.
I don't know if I can't pick maybe a specific order. Maybe I could. I know which one is number one for sure. So I'm going to go with Money Trees, and I know that's such a cop-out. I even considered picking all top five songs from just that album alone.
Uh-huh.
Good Kid, Mad City was really, really great.
It is.
But I just like the fact that he says, he just relates it all back to money. Money Trees is a perfect place for shade, and that's how I feel. I'm not going to explain it. You've likely heard that song. I won't dive into the details of the song, but I think that the production style is great because it's very slow, so you don't hear a lot of his gravelness. It's kind of a introspective thought process that he goes through in terms of, well, Money Trees is the perfect place for shade. So at the end of the day, it's all about money.
Yeah, that's true.
At least in the song.
My number four is Poetic Justice featuring Drake.
I would have guessed that.
And it's interesting because I've never seen so many people fight over who had the better verse, whether it was Drake or Kendrick. And I've never seen so many analysis of that. And they're saying, this is why Drake was the best. So saying, no, this is why Kendrick was the best. I love that entire song. I love their perspectives of what they're talking about with their relationships. And it just has, like, this nice, soothing melody. I really can't say much about the song. I was really impressed. I think that was, like, the second song that I heard from Kendrick Lamar after I heard I. And I thought I wasn't going to like it at first. But as I started listening and re-listening to it, I was like, okay, I really like Drake's part. I really like Kendrick's part. And it's like, I actually don't care why you guys are fighting. I like both of them. They complement each other so well. They could basically cut in half and make it two separate songs. I would still love both. So, yeah, I'm not going to go too much into that one. But, yeah, Poetic Justice is my number four.
That's a good one, but it didn't make my top five. I'm going to go with High Power. So that's the one where I mentioned on his mixtape, Section 80, that J. Cole actually produced the song. And that's... I actually want to place that one higher. So I'm going to stop. That'll be, I guess, my number three.
Okay.
Number four, I'm going to go with Bitch, Don't Kill My Vibe.
Okay.
But the remix with Hova. And I liked it a lot. I listened to the song and I fell in love with it. Obviously, it has my favorite artist with him. I think Kendrick really showcases his lyrical ability. He has the last verse. I'm like, he really brought his A game. Jay always brings his A game to people he really respects. And I think what really put it in a top five is when you hear a interview that Kendrick Lamar did with Sway in the Morning. They start talking about that song with the remix. And he said, what did you feel? Sway asked Kendrick, what did you feel when Jay-Z wanted to do a verse on the song? And he said, I finally made it. He goes, I knew that, you know, the GOAT decided to do a remix. And he said, I listened to the verse and I said, shit, how am I going to make sure I put something out that's just as good as his verse? He said that Jay-Z's verse was so insane that he decided to go back in the booth and write a third verse just to make sure that he was on par with Jay's. And again, back to artists understanding it's competitive. They want to make sure they're on top of their game. I appreciated that fact, and that kind of goes to, and ties into his control verse. I actually think the better verse goes to J Electronica, but J Electronica doesn't have the same energy as Kendrick, so people naturally default to Kendrick having the better verse and control. Right. That's my opinion on it, but
oh, that's fine.
Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe remix.
Okay, that's good. Number three for me is God is Gangsta. So this is probably one that many people might not like to just hear, and I completely understand that, because I honestly think you'd have to watch the video, and it complements it very well, the song. And it's, and I remember there's a lot of people talking about what is he talking about, because you see him play a character here who's like drunk, and he's trying to like, and he's asking all these questions and asking to himself or to whoever, and it's really intense. And I really loved watching it. And then it cuts out, and it goes to the second part, which is completely different than the first part. That's like fierce, and it feels distorted, and then it becomes more clear in the second half. And I loved that. Like as a musician, like that, I just saw that. I was like, that's awesome. But again, it's one of those songs that I would honestly recommend watch it first. Don't listen to it, just watch it first. You have to watch it. And that's also why it's not as high. But I love the artistic value that he's putting into it. That he's like, you can listen to it, but if you watch it, it's just that much more impressive. So that's why it's number three for me.
It's a good one. Still not my top five, but I can see why for sure. And I'm not big on watching things. But so now you already heard High Power. That's mm-hmm. the one that J. Cole helped produce, or not helped produce, he actually produced it. And it's about kind of enlightenment, that he seems to be a keystone of his music, the whole spiritual wisdom, mind, body, spirit, how it's all kind of one bigger thing. It definitely touches on social inequalities, specifically racial ones. Very much what you were saying. He's very current event type artist. He puts it out there. He puts it on wax, so to speak, and that's why I like it. It's got a very low energy vibe, so it's again a focus on here's the lyrics, pay attention to what I'm saying. And it's a unique, I don't even know how to describe what J. Cole did with the beat, but it's got like this little beeping flutter. And if you have nice headphones, audiophile headphones, over the ear preferably, if you put them on, if they have like the five speakers on each ear, you can kind of hear how the sound rotates around you. And it kind of enhances this experience of the sound of the song. And I guess I've never explained that. I have audiophile headphones, and that's why production is so big to me. It really can enhance the message of a song.
And to J. Cole, I don't know what he does, but to me, when he does producing, like where they ask him to put something, he's like the frosting, like the smallest details on the cake. That's what he does. And I don't know how he does it. Like I think about it, like that would never occur to me to do that. I don't know what came into his head. It's like, no. I don't understand it, but it's awesome.
He is an underrated producer. From a producer standpoint, he is, I think, underrated for sure.
I really think it'd be interesting if Kendrick had J. Cole just produce his entire album.
I honestly would love it. I mean, yeah. I think they have good chemistry, and we need that. They promised us that, I think, like 3 years ago. We have yet to see it, so damn you guys. You guys need to put that shit out.
Do it. All right. Number two for me is Swimming Pools.
This is a very, 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 very good one.
That one is such so interesting. The way, again, we've talked about how people like when they tell stories, and this one was just awesome. He's just talking about alcohol and like in this song, and just like people want to, like he doesn't talk about like not drinking. He kind of talks about like he just kind of like dips his feet in the water, but some people want to like pull him in, and he doesn't want that to happen. It's such an interesting song, and I remember hearing that, and I was like, holy cow, like this is what we're needing. We're needing people that can tell these type of stories or talk about a concept in this way, because that's what engages people, because they want to hear this. This reminds me of like the spoken word. Like that's what people wanted to hear, you know, back in the 60s, 50s, when Muhammad Ali came out with the album for the spoken word, because they like hearing how he spoke of whatever theme. And so him doing that and correlating it to a swimming pool was just amazing. And I really love that song. So yeah, that's number two.
Yeah, his poetic abilities is what I say. Definitely one of the all-time greats when it comes to how he verbalizes his poetry. So on that note, I'm going to go with on the album Damn, Element.
Okay.
And I like it because it's that braggadocio. He goes through his sacrifices to get on top, and I was challenging anyone, come at me. If I gotta slap a pussy ass nigga, I'm gonna make it look sexy. Or a bitch ass nigga, whatever.
But, yeah, I think it's a bitch ass.
It's, so it's got this like nice little beat to it, upbeat to it that you can kind of jam to. But then he talks about how he got to where he was at, and that's why he can challenge whoever he wants to. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm gonna go with that one.
Number two, okay.
Again, a popular. I feel like these are cop outs. It was easy for me to top five for him because there's not many tracks. Again, if we were able to pick top five featured, I think that'd be far easier. I think he has some songs where he features very greatly in, but these have to be songs that he's accredited as the main artist. So I had an easy time picking a couple because I don't think there's very many for my style.
Okay. No, that's fair. Number one for me has to be the first song that got me into him, which is I. And the reason for it is I love how he took time to just, instead of talking about these issues by his community, he talked more about him, his self-reflection. And I really liked it. And it came with this funky beat. And it reminded me a lot about when Ice Cube came out with this song. I think it's called Today Was a Good Day. Because if you remember Ice Cube coming out, he always had these songs. Either he was dissing N.W.A. or dissing Eazy-E. Or talking about how rough, you know, the hood is or what's going on with him. And in this song, he talks about the good stuff that happened. He talks about his day. Like, I good. I didn't pig out. He had a triple-double when playing. He got to get with this girl he wanted to be with since high school. He didn't have to use his gun that day. Like, it was just the simple things. And so this one, it kind of reminded me of that. It's completely different. But he's just talking about, like, self-love. And I just, I love that. Even the first part that when he starts, he's like, I done been through a whole lot. Trying to listen, but I know God. I really liked it. And it grooved on me. And then when I saw him do it live on SNL, oh my gosh. Like I said, if you want to see someone, again, I don't know how Drake is. I'm pretty sure Drake does great live. I saw J. Cole. Drake has so much energy. Nets, he had the people just like entranced.
J. Cole or Kendrick?
Him. Kendrick, sorry.
Yeah, okay.
J. Cole, my bad.
J. Cole can. He has that ability.
He has that ability.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. But with Kendrick, I was just like, holy freak. And so it just has a special place in my love for hip hop, so that's why that's number one for me because Kendrick, because he just went out of his way to talk. Again, he didn't talk about like pop yourself. He just talked about loving yourself. And some people are like, oh, everyone does that. I was like, yeah, he put it more. He did it with a funky beat. He did it with putting in like what, like why he loves himself or why you should love yourself. And so that's why I liked it.
Okay, and then my number one, which will explain some of the things that I guess we've kind of touched base on, is Duckworth.
Okay.
So this one's on his Damn album as well. And it's a storytelling song. And you all know I'm a sucker for storytelling songs. It's a story from start to finish. No chorus. Ninth Wonder, I believe, is the one that produced that track. And I'm a huge... And this is where I said, if he has a good selection of producers, it is absolute magic. And the person that found him is Top Dog, and that's why where this song becomes kind of an important part. He's mentioned him before in other songs and what their relationship was like, but the story was he talks about his dad, actually, and how he kind of came across Top Dog is the name of the guy, Anthony Tiffin, uh-huh. Tiffith. He refers to his dad as Ducky. I don't think he ever mentions what his dad's actual name is on this track, but I'm sure it's known. I don't know his name. And he's this humble guy with his wife, and he wants to put his kids through college. And he's specifically talking about Kendrick. He works at KFC, and he understands the life of the hood and how kind of things come full circle, and a lot of his crew is dead because of just poor circumstances. And he sees Top Dog. And Top Dog, he could tell, was going to rob this KFC again. So I guess he's done it before. And this is a true story. He understood how to maneuver through the current circumstances in which they lived in, he decided he'd not befriend Top Dog, but be nice to him. So he, once in a while, he'd give him free chicken, two biscuits, whatever the case may be. So Top Dog took a liking to him, which spared his life. He didn't end up shooting him when he wanted to rob the place. And 15 years later, he spots Kendrick and says, this guy is going to be the next big guy. And he signs him to his Top Dog label. I think it's Top Dog Entertainment, and the rest is history. That's where he starts promoting him. So that's where Kendrick mentions Top Dog as like a father, funny enough, because he could have killed his dad. And he ends the song with saying, it's funny how to think that it could have changed, because had he could have had a dad dead and he would have grown up and either in jail or died through a gunfight. And I don't know. It comes full circle and it kind of tells you that story. And I like it because on top of a story, it's a true story.
Yeah.
And his wordplay, his wordsmith is absolutely phenomenal. I'm a sucker for excellent vocabulary. I think if you can use complex words and put them into rhyme schemes and make them fit, then that level of ability is insane. And I don't want to keep referencing old people, but like Biggie, he doesn't use a lot of super complex words. His is rhyme scheme, the pattern of everything. Kendrick is not one of those. He uses extremely complex words or bigger words than most people are used to, and he makes it fit into the song. So I think that's my favorite song from Kendrick.
No, that's a good one. I think that's a good thing to keep it, because I think there's the rapper from Linkin Park, Mike Shinoda. He made a song called he made a rap album called Fort Minor. His rap name is Fort Minor. I can't remember the name of the album, but he talks about like
Remember Tide or some shit like that.
Remember the name is the name of the song, but he had a like
Rising Tide.
Yeah. So he had a song where he basically like calls out a lot of rappers, because he says like, you infer that I said something effing absurd. And he's like, did I use the word infer? You're not used to hearing a verse that uses over first grade vocabulary words. I was like, I love the little jab that he's done. And so love how Kendrick is pushing it to be like, what's he talking about? Let me look this up. I think it helps people expand the vocabulary to understand Kendrick's one. And some people might be like, no, I don't want that. I just want to listen and understand it. But like, again, he likes to be complex. I know he has tons of potential to be great, but
He is great.
Yeah, he's great, but to be like top, but I think he doesn't even want to be like way up there, because he's not going to do some of the make the decisions that Drake has made.
Yeah, I think he stays more true to himself, and I don't know. He wants to represent a very specific group of people, and I don't know, be their representative. Voice? I don't know, whatever the case may be. But that's what makes him great. He's still making great records, pushing insane numbers. I think he's obviously gonna, he's been around now for again about a decade. At some point, someone young, if not young, then I mean, has heard him, has been inspired by him. Someone's been inspired by J. Cole. Like, they're now ushering these new influences. They are influencing. So it'll be unique to see where hip hop is in the next 10 years. Who have they influenced and how have they influenced them?
Yep, that's true. So
we didn't talk about the MTV things, by the way.
Oh, the MTV thing.
We can talk about that another one.
Yeah, I'll talk about it later once we have time. So before we leave, I wanted to give out two songs I didn't get to do it the last time. And so I listen to a lot of my music on Google Play. A lot of people use Spotify, but on Google Play they have different playlists, and they have one that talks about like people that are really good at, I forget what the name of the radio is, but it's like I think it's called like Fresh Rams or something like that. And so there's two that I listened to that I really liked. One is, his name is Life, LIIFE, and he has a song called Lifestyle. It's only 2 minutes and 26 seconds. It's a really short song. It was his rhyme scheme and his way that his cadence, his flow, everything that got me. I was like, okay, this is actually pretty good. And again, he just talks about his lifestyle basically, but he does it in a way that's not braggy. And so I really like that. That one's a really good one. The other one, and I've heard of this rapper before, but I never listened to him. His name is Whale. And it's called On Chill, featuring Jeremy.
How's his name spelled?
W-A-L-E.
Wale.
Wale? I thought it was Whale.
I'm a Wale fan. He's one of those, like, I mean, maybe we'll do a review on him, but I think he's underrated. He's not noticed very much, but
I like his
style's unique, but it's Wale.
Wale, sorry. I didn't even know how it's pronounced. That's how new it is to me. But those are the ones out of like the few hours that I listened to that radio. Those two stuck out to me. So go listen to those. Wale, not Whale.
And funny enough, he's one of the ones that Kendrick supposedly called out on the control verse. He says Wale. That's who it is.
Okay, that's who it is. See, I didn't even know.
But yeah.
How about, do you have any ones that you want to recommend?
I do. It's a newer song. I think it's 2 weeks old at this point. I wanted to recommend it when we should have recorded, but it's Tory Lanez. It's called Forever. It's basically just him saying, if you're a homie, you're my homie for life, and we'll do everything together. I got your back type of thing. It's just one of those. I'm not going to get into it. I think you should just listen to it. They've got like these little chime piano things. It sounds like very feudal Japan, in essence. I don't think entirely. Mm-hmm. So I think that the mood is light. It's breezy. And then he kind of gets into a very serious topic. So okay. I like the sound of it. And I think it's a good message. I mean, essentially, having someone's back forever.
Perfect. All right, there you have it. That is our episode for this for today. So let us know what you think about Kendrick. I would really like to know what you guys think of the big three, or if you feel like it should be other three artists, or switch someone in there. So
send us topics of whatever. And forgive me for not memorizing entirely. I haven't heard that song in actually probably several months, but the control verse, I had it down better probably 6 months ago. I could have done it much better, but I know I stumbled through it. Either way, good song. Listen to it. It's on YouTube only. I don't think it's even on Spotify.
Yeah, I don't think so. So, yeah, write us at hiphopsoiree2018@gmail.com. That's hiphopsoiree2018@gmail.com. And let us know. So, yeah, thanks so much for listening. This is David the Smash Fan. Oh, my gosh. Wrong one. Ignore that. This is DJ Goose.
And Poppy.
And this is Hip Hop Soiree.